From national news in D.C.
to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol,
this is your Capitol Connection.
And now, bringing the Capitol to you,
here's your host, Nate Graz.
We are just over a week away from the 2020 election, which is shaping up to be the most important election of our lifetime. The consequences and results of this election will be felt for generations, including the issue of casino gambling, which is on the ballot in Nebraska. Will casinos really keep the money in Nebraska? And how about if you don't like casinos, then just don't go? We'll answer these questions and more on this week's Capitol Connection. As always, we are broadcasting from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, and we've had a lot of people calling and asking us about the ballot initiatives 429, 430, and 431. These initiatives would legalize all forms of gambling across Nebraska. But what's amazing is that these initiatives don't have the word casino or gambling anywhere in them. What's being proposed to voters is to authorize games of chance at licensed racetrack enclosures. That's just a complicated and fancy way of saying all gambling is legal at racetracks. But it's what the initiatives don't tell voters that is so deceptive and misleading. If the Nebraska Constitution is amended to allow all forms of gambling at racetracks, as these initiatives propose to do, under federal law, when a state allows casino gambling, they must also allow Native American tribes to have their own casino operations as well. Beyond that, there is also no limit to the number of licensed racetracks that there can be in Nebraska. And this is important because guess what? You only need to win one horse race per year to be a licensed racetrack. So they can have a dirt track, have one race a year, and be able to have full-blown casino gambling 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That is what we are facing with these initiatives on the ballot. And so we want to talk about them because there's a lot of confusion, a lot of information and disinformation, and we want to help people think clearly and biblically before they vote on this important issue. Recently, Nebraska Family Alliance hosted a special webinar about this issue, and we had some of the best, most prominent experts, both nationally and from Nebraska, join us to talk about this issue and to share their specific insight. And so today, we're going to play that recording of this webinar so that you can hear this really important information directly from some of the leading experts. You'll get to hear from Les Burnell, the National Director of Stop Predatory Gambling, and you'll get to hear his passion and expertise on this issue and why none of the common arguments in favor of casinos hold any weight. You also get to hear from Candace Gregory, President and CEO of Open Door Mission here in Omaha, Nebraska. You'll get to hear how gambling impacts the poor and the vulnerable and how this would affect the poor and the downtrodden in Nebraska and what the consequences of that would be if this is legalized across the state. And then you'll also get to hear from Pastor James Patterson, senior pastor at Trinity Hope Foursquare Church, as he shares what people of faith need to be thinking about before they cast their vote. Moderating this discussion was Karen Bowling, executive director at Nebraska Family Alliance. And you will hear her leading this discussion throughout the duration of the program. Here is Les Burnell, Candace Gregory, and Pastor James Patterson on what Nebraskans need to know and be thinking about before they vote on gambling initiatives 429, 430, and 431.
Joining me now is Les Burnell. He is the National Director for Stop Predatory Gambling. Welcome, Les.
Thank you for having me.
Les, the most common argument we hear in favor of legalizing casinos is that people go across the river into Iowa to gamble. So if we legalize casinos, we will keep the money in Nebraska, which will improve our state budget and lower taxes. But is this true, that legalizing casinos will keep the money in Nebraska? Is that a myth or a fact?
So it's without any doubt a myth. It's really, the better word for it is a con. It's a form of fraud. And so to really get to the heart of your question, I want to step back to explain to your viewers why commercialized gambling like casinos is different than any other business, including other vices like tobacco and alcohol that, you know, are available in Nebraska. Is if you go out to a restaurant and you order a pizza, you get a pizza in return. You go out and you order a glass of wine, you get a glass of wine in return. With commercialized gambling, it's a big con. It's a form of consumer financial fraud. At its core, it's a financial exchange, right? So I'm going to, instead of you getting a pizza in return for ordering a pizza, I'm promising you the lure that you might win some money, okay? But that financial exchange is rigged against you. And that's why for Nebraska's history, you know, extreme forms of commercialized gambling like casinos have been illegal, because it's a form of consumer financial fraud. It's a public ripoff. And so that argument about people are going to go out of state and so we should recoup that money, because this is a form of fraud, like there's no merit. When something is dishonest, the people that stand to benefit from it and profit from it speak about it dishonestly. And so there is no merit to this proposal. So the only thing they can argue is, well, this is a really bad idea, but at least they're going out of state, so at least bring that, this, you know, let's at least do it here, you know, and attack it here. So it's a form of fraud, and I think that's what your viewers need to understand. It's not like any other business that's in Nebraska today. And this argument going out of state, it's recycled in every state, Maryland, Massachusetts, over and over again by gambling lobbyists. So it's not a surprise that it's happening in Nebraska. But I think, you know, the people in Nebraska need to be wise enough that it's a ripoff. And the only last thing I'd say on that argument is if there's a genuine concern about the amount of money that citizens are losing in Nebraska to out-of-state casinos, then what the state of Nebraska could do, your public officials and these so-called concerned interests who are worried about this, they can shut down the predatory marketing techniques and tactics that these out-of-state casinos are doing to Nebraska citizens. That's how you get to the root of the problem. It's not to spread the problem in Nebraska, it's to cut the heart out of it.
So what would you say to people who say, well, we should go ahead and legalize casino gamblers in Nebraska, because if you don't like it, just don't go to the casinos?
Sure. So, you know, so more to kind of label that argument, we can call that like the libertarian argument, right? On its face, it seems like, well, let's just let people do what they want. You know, if people want to go to casinos, let them have it. What you're proposing, what this proposal is going to do to Nebraska, this is about opening a casino in every living room, every bedroom, every dorm room, every smartphone in your state. Because big time casino interests, there's no serious casino operator in our country who's really in the short term thinking about brick and mortar casinos. What the end game is here is to open up internet gambling, to bring it right into your home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's why that's what this is about. Like brick and mortar casinos, they're falling apart around the country. This is about opening up into your living room. So the idea that, you know, somehow that people should be free to do this, people are already free to gamble in Nebraska. You know, if you want to have a private bet with a friend, you're able to do that. This is about giving these commercialized gambling operators a monopoly in your state. You know, if this is a free market, if this is that thing, something that anybody else can do, then why can't any of us go open up our own casino? You know, you can have a specific amount of licenses that go to a privileged few, a privileged wealthy few, at the expense of everybody else. It's a huge ripoff. And the major argument here, but why casino, because casinos are such a public ripoff and a form of fraud, like half the money comes from people who are addicted to the gambling. So there's no, when you're addicted to something, the very definition of being addicted is the opposite of free will, right? So here you have a constituency that half the money's coming from people addicted to it. So all you non-gamblers out there, like who do you think's paying for all these, the social services, the housing vouchers, the food stamps and so on, when all these people lose this money and go into debt, like you're paying for this. So this is like the ultimate budget gimmick. It's the ultimate scam by people who are looking to make a buck, you know, not by earning it, but by ripping off your neighbor. You know, so it goes to the heart of you. And this is, you know, we're supposed to love our neighbor like ourselves. This is the antithesis of this, of that principle. This is loving yourself more than your neighbor.
Less commercialized gambling has a tremendous impact on families and kids. Could you briefly address that?
There's no, if you were to legalize commercialized casinos across your state, and really all, what you're really doing is you would be legalizing internet gambling coming right into your home. The constituency that pays the price for that the most will be Nebraska kids. You know, right now you have, you know, one out of two families in Nebraska have less than $1,000 in savings. And that's from a big national bank that studies these figures, gobankingrates.com. Okay. So half your state has less than a grand in the bank. People are living on the edge of poverty. Okay. We're going through this COVID-19 pandemic that has people living on a financial precipice. You know, so kids are going through incredible financial stress at home. And now you're talking about adding a business that's based on pushing people into debt. It's based upon getting citizens to lose their money. You know, Nebraska citizens are already losing, you know, over the last, you know, 10 years or so, they've lost $1.2 billion of personal wealth to the Nebraska lottery. You bring in casinos onto the top of this, you're going to extract enormous more wealth from this. So kids pay a price financially when their families are desperate and, you know, stuck in poverty. And more importantly, you're creating, you're normalizing commercialized gambling for kids. Kids are going to be exposed to all the massive advertising campaigns that come along with commercialized gambling. So it normalizes it to them. And so, you know, we talk about internet gambling. They want to bring gambling into video games for kids. You know, because that's when we talk about internet gambling, it's not just online slot machines. It's betting on video games. You know, so think if you have grandchildren or your own children, nieces and nephews, like think how much kids play video games today on their tablets and computers. And the idea that, you know, you're going to allow, you know, these commercialized gambling operators to allow wagering on that, you know, so kids are going to pay the price for this the most. So if you care about the future of your state, this is one of the biggest votes that you'll ever take in Nebraska. You know, and Nebraska today is better off the fact that you don't have casinos for the last 20 years. It's that's why it's a model for so many other states in our country.
Thank you so much, Les, for your insight. You've monitored this nationally, and it brings us to Candace Gregory. She serves as the CEO of Open Door Mission. Candace, thank you for joining us this evening.
Good evening, and thank you, Karen, for having me.
Well, you have a perspective that I think it's very important for Nebraskans to hear. How does commercialized gambling impact the poor, the vulnerable, and the homeless?
You know, for me personally, it is personal because every day at the Open Door Mission, our doors are open to those that are abused, addicted, afflicted, and they're hungry and they're homeless and they have nowhere else to go. And so many times people that come through our doors are very vulnerable and they're transparent and they share with us why they are entering the doors of the Open Door Mission. And I have seen the impact of when we had no casinos. I was the first social worker here at the Open Door Mission in the late 90s. And I saw the impact of the casinos in Council Bluffs that are not within walking distance. And we went from almost 18% to 36% of our guests self-reporting that they were struggling with gambling, to now that I have a casino within a 10-minute walk, and I now am up to 73% of the guests we serve admitting to struggling with gambling. You know, oftentimes people do not realize the social impact that is on families when we talk about gambling. In fact, homeless and those that live in impoverished situations experiencing homelessness and poverty have a 9 times higher rate than an average person of having a gambling addiction. And it doesn't happen overnight. It happens over a period of time, but it's destroying families already in our community.
That's devastating statistics. So Candace, another question is casino gambling all about personal choice, or are there predatory practices that seek to exploit addiction and those who are financially desperate? I mean, those are the people that you serve.
Absolutely. I truly believe that casino gambling and other forms of gambling prey on those that are in poverty as well as experiencing homelessness. It is almost like a carrot dangling in front of a horse that this is going to be my way out I'm going to be able to hit the jackpot. I'm going to be able to take care of my family. It doesn't start out that it's going to be uncontrollable and life-altering. It's seen as a way that I can actually fix or be a solution to the problem I already have. And as we know, that gambling, that lightning, it actually leads us to an impact where it doesn't stop until it's a disaster, bankruptcy, crime, severe illness, suicide. That's when the gambling addiction stops.
That is so very tragic, and it preys on the vulnerable. My final question to you tonight, Candace, is what kind of human cost do you think we will experience if we have 24/7 casinos, slot machines, and online gambling across our entire state?
Not only as a leader, but as a mother of four, I am very concerned about this movement and the impact that it can have on our young adults, especially those that are athletes. I think it opens a whole other door for gambling that we don't need at our front door. I think it will cripple thousands of households economically and socially and humanly. The consequences are going to be far larger than they are today. You know, 28% of children in Nebraska do not know where their next meal will come from. And that was before this pandemic and before this initiative. What will it be after? Because I am only speaking for one nonprofit, but I am stretched to meet the already growing needs in our community. We already are 4,000 safe, affordable housing units short in our Omaha community. That's not across Nebraska, that's just in this community. And that is without this growing social issue that will be compounded by making it available and promoting it and preying on those that are not only vulnerable, but the elderly and lonely.
Thank you, Candace. We appreciate what you do at the Open Door Mission and serving the vulnerable. Thank you. Joining me now is Pastor James Patterson. He is lead pastor at Trinity Hope in North Omaha. James, welcome.
Thank you.
I know you're very concerned too about gambling and have known people that have experienced the harms of gambling, but how does gambling affect the disadvantaged and disenfranchised?
Well, it presents a false hope as something that is very reachable. And I am particularly concerned for those who are at the bottom of the economic ladder, who are struggling. They live in a survival mode already. And the way the advertisement is presented with regard to gambling is that they can hit the jackpot or they can be the big winner. And will cause them to spend disposable income that they don't have, and exacerbate their situation. So I'm concerned about that as a concept, and taking event preying on our community.
Well, one of the things that we are having right now as a nation is a discussion about equality and justice, and particularly for the disenfranchised, the vulnerable. And I know the people that you serve, Pastor James. I mean, is casino gambling a neutral business? I mean, does it have tremendous impact on the people that you serve?
Well, sure it has an impact. Just because of the advertisement. I mean, if the advertisement wasn't there, a lot of people would not seek it out. And again, those who are at the bottom of the economic ladder is looking for a way out. And whenever the various, the mega ball, for example, is advertised as this humongous jackpot, it doesn't emphasize very strongly that only 1 in 300 will be the jackpot winner. And so those who are struggling, they say, if I can just And I've heard this terminology before. If I can just hit the big one, I'm going to try it again. The last time I did this, but I'm just going to double up next time. But my boat's bound to come in. You know, it's that kind of thinking that because of the advertisement that it is something that's so achievable, when in truth it's not achievable. And at the same time, if you are a person of faith, we should be trusting the Lord. And, you know, and personally, I would tell them, why don't you trust God with that? What, you know, bless somebody else, cast your bread on the water. And in other words, bless somebody else. And the Bible says, not many days the Lord will cause it to come back to you. God will bless you. He knows our needs. But gambling is addictive, as was shared earlier. When you get on that path, it just sucks you in farther and farther. And I believe that is counterproductive to faith. If you're saying you trust in the Lord, but you're trusting God to bless you to gamble, I'm telling you, you need to go back to your scriptures again and study your scriptures again, because I don't think that's biblical. But given releasing, I think it's very biblical that we give our tithes, we bless the poor, we bless the unfortunate, the homeless and the widows. We bless those individuals. And God says, you take care of them and I'm going to take care of you. And so it's in that order, but it's not using your wealth to gamble for it where the odds are already stacked against you. That's not a faith move. That's a religious move, but not a faith move at all, a biblical faith.
We don't want sanctioned government gambling be the effort to try and rescue those that are disenfranchised. It's an opportunity as the body of Christ to serve them instead. So as we get ready to close, I'm going to ask each of our panelists to make a final statement that is important to you, that you want our listeners to know why we should be voting no against casino gambling. Les, I'm going to start with you.
So the point I want to leave your viewers with is, I talked about at the beginning about how this is a form of consumer financial fraud. And the most compelling fact that shows how this is a form of consumer financial fraud, really the biggest ripoff in America today, is almost all of the casino operators, the slot machine makers, the people that promote gambling, the public officials who lobby for it, almost to a person, all of those people, they don't gamble themselves. So if you go to the homepage of Stop Predatory Gambling as a website, we have a post we call the Hypocrite Hall of Fame. So you have all these casino operators, and this is true for Nebraska as well, slot makers and everyone else, saying, legalize this product. You know, this is great for your town. This is great for your family. But guess what? I admit, I don't gamble myself, right? I'm investing in mutual funds. I own a house. I have all this other resources. I have a savings account, a college fund for my kids. But you know what? I want you to gamble and lose your money. And that's how I profit. So the whole thing is a fraud. But so if you ask, you, is the only product or service in the country where the people that own it and promote it don't use it? And why is that? It's because it's a fraud. And the people in Nebraska are great people. They're not frauds. And it's, you got to vote this fraud down.
Thank you for your wisdom, Les. Candace, final thoughts.
My prayer is that the people of Nebraska will be wise in their voting to know that the economic impact of legalized gambling will never pay for the social issues it creates.
Very, very.
Yes, I encourage you to visit opendoormission.org. I have quite an extensive response to legalized gambling, and you can click on the fact button to see where I found those stats and some of the facts. And if you still struggle, I would encourage you to come for a tour and see the impact firsthand in the faces of the people I'm serving that are impacted because of the addiction.
Thank you, Candace. Pastor James, your final thoughts.
I would encourage them, if they have a certain amount of money they want to give away, give it to somebody you know who needs it. and bless them and give it to them by faith. And watch that what God would do with that. And you give it, first of all, take it, you give it to God and you give it to them to bless them and ask the Lord to return it back to you to bless you. And another thought, that same amount of money that you wanted to gamble with, if you start investing it in a bank, save it until you get a certain amount and invest it, you will do far better than wasting your money on taking a risk and a chance. And if you're going to do something in faith, you need to do it according to the word. So give it to somebody who needs it according to the Bible, and the God that you serve, believe him to bless you according to what he said he would do.
This is a big moment for our state. There was an incredible amount of wisdom in that discussion. And if you would like more information on the truth about initiatives 429, 430, and 431, please visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org and join us in voting against 429, 430, and 431. That's all the time we have for this week. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for the Nebraska Family Alliance. Hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.